Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. A teacher of the law came and tried to trap Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to receive eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "What do the scriptures say? How do you interpret them?" The man answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You are right," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But the teacher of the law wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus answered, "There was once a man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when robbers attacked him, stripped him, beat him up, leaving him half dead. It so happened that a priest was going down that road, but when he saw the man, he walked on by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite came there, went over and looked at the man, and then walked on by on the other side. But a Samaritan was traveling that way and came upon the man, and when he saw him, his heart was filled with pity. He went over to him, poured oil and wine on his wounds, and bandaged them, then put the man on his own animal and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Take care of him,' he told the innkeeper, 'and when I come back this way, I will pay you whatever else you spend on him.'" And Jesus concluded, "In your opinion, which one of these 3 acted like a neighbor to the man attacked by the robbers?" The teacher of the law answered, "The one who was kind to him." Jesus replied, "You go then and do the same." Three years ago at Christmas time, we were staying with my younger brother Keith and his family just north of Matakana. About 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve, Keith received a phone call to say that he had been diagnosed with renal and prostate cancer. Despite the removal of the tumor and kidney, some very, very expensive drugs, and lots of radiation, the cancer spread throughout his body, including lesions on his heart and his brain. A few weeks ago, he was the first person in New Zealand to have radiation on his heart. Despite his debilitating ordeal, he was constantly, constantly positive, constantly supportive of others. He died just 3 years and 1 week after his first diagnosis, with his funeral just 10 days ago. Along with his 2 sons, Connor and Tiernan, his wife Margaret, and my brother Ron, I was asked to speak. I included a reading by Grady Pollard that some of you may know, The Measure of a Man. The measure of a man is not determined by his show of strength, or the volume of his voice, or the thunder of his actions, or of his intellect or academic abilities. It is seen rather in terms of the love that he has for his family and for everyone. The strength of his commitment, the sincerity of his purpose, the quiet courage of his convictions, the fun, laughter, joy, and happiness he gives to his family and to others, his love of life, his patience and his honesty, and his contentment with what he has. Now, I couldn't have found anything more suitable or spoke more truly about the life of my brother, and in particular, the last 3 years. And although not a regular churchgoer, he lived what Jesus told us to do, to love our neighbour as we love ourselves. What do people see when they look at us? Our Christian life is not defined by how often we turn up at church, but by the way we live. But what we do, even more than what we say. And when people look at us, can they tell that we have spent time with our Lord? Can they see anything of Jesus in us? Some time ago, I came across this story, and I think it will be familiar to some. A little boy wanted to meet God. He was sure it was a long trip to where God lives, so he packed a school bag with packets of potato chips and drinks, and he started off on his journey. And after he'd been walking a while, he wandered into a park, and he saw an old woman sitting on a park bench, just staring at some pigeons. The boy sat down next to her and opened his school bag. He was about to take a drink when he noticed that the old lady looked a bit hungry. So he offered her a packet of chips. She gratefully accepted and smiled at him. Her smile was so pretty that the boy wanted to see it again, so he offered her a drink. And again she smiled at him, and the boy was delighted. They sat there all afternoon, eating and smiling, and didn't say a word. As time went on, the boy realized it was getting late, and so he got up to leave. But before he had gone more than a few steps, he turned around, ran back to the old lady, and gave her a big hug. And she gave him her biggest smile ever. When the young boy opened the door to his house, his mother was surprised by the look of joy on his face. "What have you been doing that makes you so happy?" He replied, "I had lunch with God in the park." And do you know what? She's got the most beautiful smile I've ever seen. Meanwhile, the old lady, also radiant with joy, returned to her home. Her son, stunned by the expression on her face, said, "Mother, what did you do today to make you so happy?" "I ate potato chips in the park with God. And you know what? He's a lot younger than I thought." What do people see? Who do people see when they spend time with us? Too often we underestimate the power of a touch, a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, or the smallest action of sharing, all of which has the potential to turn a life around. Are we showing the love of God to others? In the concordance at the back of my Bible, I found about 800 references to the word love or loved. Nearly half of those are in the New Testament. Jesus talked about loving God, loving those within the fellowship of believers, and loving others. On our responsibility to love those within the fellowship, in John 13:34, records Jesus saying, "A new commandment I give, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And in our reading from Luke 10, Jesus speaks of our responsibility towards God and towards other people. On one occasion, a lawyer came to Jesus and asked a question to test him. "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus turned the question back on the lawyer. "Well, what's written in the scriptures?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "That's right. Do this, and you will live." Then the lawyer came back with a question. Ah, but that's just it. Who is my neighbour? Now, Jesus could have engaged in an abstract theological discussion with the lawyer, which it would probably have delighted him, but instead he told a story of the Good Samaritan, which demanded not just a quick response from the lawyer, but actions that, if he carried them out, could change his life. If he did what Jesus said, now go and do the same. We are to love the Lord our God with our whole being and to show God's love in our lives by loving our neighbours, allowing the love of God to flow through us to those in need, whoever, wherever, whatever the need may be. In his story, Jesus chose highly respected people in the community, the priest and the Levite, to come across as unfeeling and uncaring. And he chose one of the most distrusted and despised people by the Jews, the Samaritan, to be the good guy. Jesus was telling us to look beyond the familiar, the comfortable, the safe, to see those in need and to respond in love, not just to those we know, those who look, act, believe as we do. For the Good Samaritan, it was a brave and loving action that came with a cost. Apparently, that road from Jerusalem to Jericho is still, all these many, many years later, a very dangerous road to travel. He risked his life by stopping to help someone who in other circumstances wouldn't even have given him the time of day. He continued putting himself at risk while he attended to the man's immediate needs, then placed him on his donkey and transported him to a safe place. When the time came for him to leave, he left money for the ongoing care and said that when he came back again, if there was money owing, he would pay it. How often do we just walk on by, assuming someone else will fill the need? In the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul talks a lot about love. And the first three verses can be summed up like this. If I don't live a life of love, nothing I say will matter, nothing I know will matter, nothing I believe will matter, nothing I give will matter, and nothing I accomplish will matter. As Mother Teresa said, it's not what we do, it's how much love we put into doing it. In the everyday things we do, are others aware of the love of God in our lives, and are we sharing that love with others? When preparing this, I came across another poem about the measure of a man, this time author unknown. It's not what he did. No, sorry. It's not how did he die, but how did he live. Not what did he gain, but what did he give. These are the things that measure the worth of a man or a woman, regardless of birth. Not what was his station, but had he a heart? And how did he play his God-given part? Was he ever ready with a word of good cheer to bring back a smile, to banish a tear? Not what was his church, not what was his creed, but had he befriended those really in need? Not what did the sketch in the paper say, but how many were sorry when he passed away? These are the things that measure the worth of a man as a man, regardless of birth. What legacy will we leave behind? Let us pray. Loving Lord, sometimes the problems seem too great. Help us to remember that where your love resides, there is wholeness. Where your peace inhabits, there is harmony. Where your spirit lives, there is freedom. God of gentle whisper, cooling breeze and sweet perfume, infuse our lives with all that is good and pure and holy, so that we may become a fragrant offering wherever you might need us. Amen.